What is going on? Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Lineup Logic, NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, the lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm Sean Kane. I am your host, and we are in week three. It is a massive, we got a massive slate coming up tonight, guys. So super pumped to break down this slate with you. As I always say, please retweet, subscribe on iTunes, listen on SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you are. Comment. I'm getting, continue to interact with a lot of people who are listening to the podcast on Twitter. Absolutely love that. Got a request to maybe broaden the show's scope to DK as well. I'm got to be honest with you, I haven't done NBA on DraftKings, so I may have to dive in, do a little bit of research, get a little help from some friends out there who I know roll DK lineups. So they'll look for that in maybe the coming weeks. We could definitely do that. If nothing else, we could definitely cross-reference prices and build some DK lineups for you guys. It is January 25th, Wednesday. Like I said, massive, like 9-game slate tonight. Huge night in the NBA, and we have an awesome show for you. At the end of the show, I've got an interview with lineup provider DFS Shane. We dive into personal process, which is something that I'm super excited about on this show. I want to cover a lot on personal process and how lineup providers create lineups and what they choose to focus on in order to, you know, be their best selves and be their most successful. DFS Shane is definitely one of those guys crushing right now. Great win rate. I hope I didn't jinx him, but great win rate as of right now, and super available on Twitter, free lineups, tip only provider. So just a wonderful dude and a great interview. So stay tuned for that after the breakdown. In the next hour, we're going to go ahead and break down the night of NBA to come. We're going to look at spreads. We're going to look at injury news. We're going to talk about some of the juiciest games upcoming on the slate, followed by a breakdown of players to target in the night upcoming. But before we do that, let's recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, I said I wasn't going to tinker, and I didn't for the most part, and I'm really glad that I didn't. Stick to your process, stick to your guns, it worked out. We got 322, which was a nice, really nice score last night. Cash 50-50, cash and double ups, cash some small leagues myself. Really pleased with that number. Elf didn't do anything, but George Hill, Devin Booker all hit value. And then had a bunch of guys just go 6 or 7x. Bradley Beal, Andrew Wiggins, Nerlens Noel obviously crushed at 10x. The whole world was on top of him, but hey, I'll take it. It's better to be on him than off of him when that happens, right? And then Keefe, of course, doing massive things in the Boston-Washington game. Really, really happy with them. Here's a really, really, really interesting point of to learn from, okay? We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in this lineup go for more than 40 points. 5 players go for 40 points. From prices all the way up at Jimmy Butler at 96K, 9.6K, all the way down to Nerlens Noel at 4K. Now, Nerlens is obviously a outlier, okay? That's an outlier experience. For a player to go 10X, that's a GPP-type dream. But it's not crazy for us to look at Beal, the situation that Beal and Morris and Wiggins were in, and expect them to get 40 points either. And I think that this is one of those moments where when you have a player who's in a 6K price range and a 7K price range, who's in a good situation to meet or exceed value, you have to lock them in and understand that they're just as likely to get to 40 as Jimmy is. You know, they're just as likely to have a really good night as Jimmy is to have a ceiling night. And I think that it's just one of those learning process things that a lot of times people want to go stars and scrubs. You want to pay up for players. You want to get the most out of your stars And I don't disagree with that, but I think that when you have players in this 6 to 7K mid-tier range who have an opportunity to exceed value, I think you kind of have to go for it. You know, you kind of have to take that chance. And I was really, really pleased with the outcome here. So a good lineup, definitely nice work on the pod, not tinkering too much, you know, which is something that Shane talked about later in the interview, just trusting your gut, trusting your process, going with what you know, and, you know, and then sticking to it. So, you know, good stuff. All right, let's dive into the night to come on in the NBA. We're going to look at the schedule. We're going to look at spreads, and we're going to talk injury news. Okay, we have, like I said, about, I think it's 9-game slate tonight, massive 9-game slate. First game of the night, Sacramento at Cleveland, 216 total at this one. No surprise, the Cavs are favored by 12 at home. Only injuries are on the Sacramento side. Omri Caspi and Rudy Gay likely, or excuse me, Rudy Gay definitely out. Omri Caspi likely out for this one. Houston at Boston, 229 total in this one. Rockets favored by 4. Houston, Boston coming off the back-to-back. No major injury news except for on the Boston side. Avery Bradley remains out, which pushes Marcus Smart into the starting lineup. Marcus Smart is a head case. Lost it on his coach last night. Man, I got to be honest with you. If I'm Boston, I'm flipping that guy. I'm flipping him for a power forward. I'm flipping them for some real rebounding, which is what they lack. Anyway, Miami at Brooklyn, 215 total in this one. Heat only favored by 3.5. And I guess that's just because Brooklyn's been scoring a lot at home, keeping games competitive. You know, they're kind of going deep in their rotation, getting a lot out of their bench recently. A la Caris LeVert. interesting game, but you got to think that Miami is playing well and can get this one taken care of. On the Brooklyn side of the ball, Joe Harris still out, which opens up the front court a little bit, but kind of in an unclear fashion. I guess maybe Sean Kilpatrick shares. I don't know. I'm staying away from Brooklyn for as long as I can. And then obviously on the Miami side of the ball, a couple injuries there that are of importance. Josh Richardson and Tyler Johnson, the most important ones, basically putting Wayne Ellington and Deion Waiters into the starting rotation, sharing minutes there. Atlanta and Chicago rematch here, 202 total on this one. Atlanta favored by 1 in Chicago. No serious injury news in this one. Look for Jerian Grant to get the start again for the Bulls tonight. His defense was much better than Michael Carter-Williams and Rajon Rondo on Elf. And I think that that's probably what Coach Hoiberg was looking for with that change, a little bit of better defense. So, you know, don't lock and load Schroeder looking at his game logs last time against the Bulls. Philadelphia at Milwaukee, another rematch here. 206 total in this one, but the Bucks currently favored by 11. Even though Philadelphia had that great game last night against the Clips, without Embiid, I think this team might struggle against the size of Milwaukee, struggle to put up some points. And Milwaukee's just been so good at home. Giannis is better at home. Jabari's better at home. One thing to be aware of is Matthew Dellavedova has taken his starting job back from Malcolm Brogdon, getting a lot of good minutes and really, really a nice punt at point guard. So if you're looking to really go stars and scrubs tonight, Delly in play for sure. On the Philadelphia side of the ball, Okafor out, Embiid out, which of course means that it's Nerlens time, baby. You know, don't expect him to go 10x again, guys. You look at that stat line last night. He had 17, 9, and 6, and then like 3 blocks. He played great. He played great, and he deserves a whole lot of credit. And, if Nerlens plays the 4 and Embiid plays the 5, that team is so fun to watch. And I really, really, really am rooting for them. I just don't know that Nerlens can go 10x again. That would be crazy. All right, Toronto at Memphis, 201 total in this one. Toronto coming off that brutal kind of last-minute loss to the Spurs. Memphis favored by 6. DeMar DeRozan still out, so look for Kyle Lowry to take that massive usage bump. But Norman Powell also in the lineup getting a lot of minutes, as well as Terrence Ross getting a lot of minutes. On the Memphis side of the ball, no serious injuries to report, but Memphis coming off a lot of rest. They have had numerous days of rest, probably feeling nice and fresh. I think the last time they played was Friday night or Saturday night. So a couple nice good nights for those old men in Memphis to get their knees right. Oklahoma City at New Orleans, 217 total in this one. Thunder only favored by 1.5, which to me feels a little bit crazy. You know, Anthony Davis says he's going to play. That's the only thing you really are thinking about. Tyreek Evans has an ankle. If Tyreek Evans can't go, look for Buddy Hield to fire it up. You know, with the way Terrence Jones played recently, I don't really know what Alvin Gentry is going to do. I'll be interested to see the New Orleans starting lineup, though. Golden State going to Charlotte, little homecoming for Steph. Just had a big ceremony at his high school. They retired his jersey yesterday. Kind of a little bit of narrative street for Steph here, baby. 223 total in this one. Golden State favored by 10.5. No surprise. On the Charlotte side of the ball, a couple injuries. Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky have a couple little injuries. Kaminsky's nursing a nose. I mean, he got popped in the nose. I don't know. It's kind of funny to see GTD nose on FanDuel. but on the Golden State side, everybody healthy, everybody ready to give it a go. New York at Dallas, 201 total in this one. Dallas favored by 4. No real major injury news to report in this one. Wesley Matthews says he's going to give it a go. Andrew Bogut says he's going to give it a go, but I wasn't really starting any Mavs except for Dirk anyhow. So keep your eye on any late news for that if you feel like the Mavs are worth firing up against the Knicks, except for Dirk. Dirk is not bad. Lakers at Portland. This is the last game of the night, the only West Coast game, the 10:30 game. 220 total in this one. Portland favored by 8.5 at home. This is the third time these teams have met in the last month. Luol Deng still got the wrist. Don't know if he's going to go. D'Angelo Russell definitely out, so look for some shakeups to the Lakers rotation. I don't really know what Walton will do with the Lakers, and the Lakers have been playing pretty badly without Russell and Deng in the lineup. They just kind of are getting torched. And they've lost both games to Portland so far this year, so I don't know how many Lakers shares I really want to have. I don't know what's going to happen, even though Portland's defense is brutal. On the Portland side of the ball, no serious injuries to report. The only thing that you may want to keep an eye on is, and we're going to talk about this on the show, Evan Turner bumped into the starting lineup and getting way more minutes than Mo Harkless. And I think that's a defense thing. Portland needs some defense, and Turner is certainly a better two-way player than Mo Harkless. Harkless is a scorer, but when Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are playing in the backcourt, you need someone to protect the basket, and it's not going to be those two. All right, that is it for the spreads and injuries. Let's go ahead and take a look at the players on the slate tonight, find out which players we love. Who do you love? Okay, so we're going to jump straight into the lock and load segment here. This is where I go through and I sort through the top priced studs. I think are probably some of the most, that's probably the most important decision you can make. Because, you know, we need to make sure that we roster the right studs who are going to hit value. At point guard, it's really not that big of a surprise. He'll be pretty chalky tonight. Russell Westbrook at New Orleans. I mean, even against the Jazz, dude hit value. And he's got the Pelicans tonight. Now, Jrue Holiday, if you look at DVP, you might go, wow, New Orleans pretty good against the point guard, Sean. yeah, Drew does hold one of the best DVP spots in the league. He's not a terrible defender, and he's definitely been able to hold mediocre point guards to subpar numbers, okay? But against real bucket getters, Drew just isn't there. Kyrie put up 49 on him, you know, and even if Kyrie shot incredibly well, like if you look at the percentages, he shot unbelievably well. If he shoots a normal percentage, like his normal percentage, he would have scored 40 still, okay? You know, Holiday stops guys like Elfrid Payton, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Michael Carter Williams. You know, those are some of his recent victories. Great job, Drew Holiday. We're very proud of you. But like Brandon Jennings had 20 against him. Jeff Teague had 17, 8, and 10. So he's good, but he's not great. He's not going to stop Russell Westbrook. And here's one thing that I really, really am interested in, and I think that we cannot underestimate. Oklahoma City has played one game in the last 7 days. They are fresh. That's how they beat Utah, right? I mean, Utah is one of the best defensive teams in the league, but Russ and the rest of those guys were so fresh. Legs were good. You know, they were able to slow down Utah enough at home that, you know, they got that win. And I think that, you know, in a game against the Pelicans, who are, you know, kind of a defense optional team, I really like Russ. Now, I'm going to pivot down to Steph because I have to talk about Steph. If I leave you without talking about Steph today, you may miss a massive Steph game. Now, you have to pay attention to Steph games because you don't want to play him every night just because he's a stud where usage is shared, right? Usage is totally shared with KD and Draymond and Clay. But I got a little narrative street for you, okay? So a couple things here. One, after 3 of the 6 losses this season, Steph has been the leading scorer with more than 30 points. They just lost to Miami. So, okay, bounce back narrative. Good. Steph decides, give me the fucking ball. I like that. That's the Steph that we like. Now, you add the high school jersey retirement. All right. You add the fact that he's at home in Charlotte. His dad will be in the building calling the game, family in the building, old friends in Charlotte. And if you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's stupid. Okay. Well, I looked into it to make sure that it wasn't stupid. Last year in Charlotte, he put up 40, 3 rebounds, 5 assists at home. Okay. Or excuse me. Then again, at home against the same Charlotte team, 30 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. 2013-14, he had the away game, he had 43 in Charlotte. You know, I think that like what we can say is the combination of the combination of the narrative street plus the Warriors needing a bounce back after a loss. I just and Steph's price, he's at 8-9. You know, I'm fine with Steph when he's below 9K. I think that, you know, if you're just asking him to get above 40 and flirt with 45, I think that that's very reasonable. And so I really like Steph tonight. I think that, you know, Kemba is sick. He says he's going to play, but he is sick. So we'll see. And Charlotte coming off the back-to-back, you kind of like that. Or excuse me, not the back-to-back, but they did have a game on Monday night. All right. At shooting guard, it's the beard, Mr. James Harden. He is priced at 12-1. Not a bad price for Harden, actually. But he's got the highest – this is the highest projected total, highest projected pace of the game. We've got Houston at Boston. Boston has just struggled against the backcourt, guys. I mean, they're dead last in the shooting guard against the shooting guard in the last 10 games. Bradley Beal went bananas against them in the fourth quarter from behind the arc. We know that they don't defend shooters well. Isaiah Thomas is a liability. They just allow a ton of shots without Avery Bradley. Harden had 53 FD points last game against Charlotte, or excuse me, against the Celtics last time they played this season. He had 18 free throws, and he went 18 for 18. What? That's insane. I actually think personally, I'm a little bit scared of blowout here because the Celtics coming off the back-to-back, they allow more attempts, they allow more three-pointers, and they produce fewer turnovers. off the back-to-back. So they're just kind of generally a worse defensive team on the back-to-back. I also really like Giannis at home tonight. I really do not mind the savings. If you find a spot on the slate where you want to pay up a little bit for someone else, I think Giannis is absolutely fine. He fouled out last game against the 76ers, but he still put up 40 FD points in only 28 minutes. I think that game is a blowout risk as well. No Embiid and Bucks at home. Bucks at home are just so hot. So, but the problem is the Bucks allow a ton of fantasy points. You know, so the 76ers could eat. You know, but the 76ers are traveling on a back to back. It's one of those situations where Giannis definitely will eat. The question is will Giannis get 45 and the game will more or less be over by the middle of the fourth quarter while Harden gets himself 55? And, you know, I think James Harden is in a great position here to crush on the road. So I'm all in on Harden. At small forward, it's LeBron. This is a similar narrative street. I don't love the small forward slate. You know, you've got LeBron, you've got KD, and you've got Jimmy. But they're all kind of in matchups, right? LeBron is 10-7, and he has Sacramento. I think that they're going to roll Sacramento. Like, the whole, like, we need an effing playmaker. I saw somebody on Twitter, and I don't know who this was, but I have to shout you out. They quoted LeBron's tweet, and they go, LeBron, you have three rings, how many MVPs, and you make, you know, X million dollars. Aren't you the playmaker? He is. He's the effing playmaker. And, you know, they're finally home. They kind of had this weird back and forth, you know, road trip. They have a homestand, three games homestand. They got Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, three games at home. They're coming off a day of rest. I think he and Kyrie are just going to blow this one up to try to get the team back on track. Sacramento defense really is not that good. You know, looking into the following losses thing, I just did this because, you know, the Cavs and the Warriors are coming off massive upset games. I was looking at what they do when they bounce back because they really don't lose two in a row. Cavs have done it a couple of times. The Warriors haven't done it at all. LeBron and Kyrie kind of trade those bounce back games, basically 50-50. You know, Kyrie has some ridiculous numbers in bounce back games, like above 35 points. We'll talk about him in a second. But, you know, I think this is a situation where LeBron comes back from 6 of 10 games on the road that they lost five of those games. You know, three they lost on the road. They got the homestand. You know, the three winnable games, they're going to want to string together three wins. They've got, you know, Sacramento tonight. I think they have Brooklyn, and then they have Oklahoma City. So if they can get those three W's in a row in Cleveland, you know, this is kind of a get-right moment for the Cavs before the All-Star break, where they kind of are like, don't worry, we got this. And everybody focuses up and gets some rest. And that's the only really reason that I think LeBron is in play tonight. It's also, if you don't like the value options at small forward, I think LeBron is in play. Okay, power forward, it's Millsap. I realize I'm just picking like the highest priced players at each position, but there's a reality. Those guys are all in pretty good spots. Millsap, I do really love Draymond and Kevin Love, and I think that both of them have 40 point potential, and they're both at 7-7. In fact, of the two of those, I really like Draymond in the bounce back game. I like him against Charlotte's front court to just kind of soak rebounds. He had a couple games last year where he had definitely had double digit rebounds. But for cash game purposes, I think Paul Millsap is a really good play at 8-3. He's getting the Bulls. Millsap's just so consistent. I mean, just dude hits 40 every single freaking night. I don't think the Bulls are going to get blown out this time. I really don't. I think that they're going to be locked into how embarrassed they were last game. And he only got 28 minutes against the Bulls last time, and he got, you know, he had like 32 FD points in those 28 minutes. So he was on perfect schedule. But in the earlier in the season, when he got 35 minutes against the Bulls, he had 44 FD points. He went for 16, 11, and 6 with a steal and two blocks. So, you know, if you really want to pay up for power forward tonight, I think he'd pay up for the consistency of Millsap. I really do. You know, Kevin Love, if you got a hunch about Kevin Love, like I had that hunch about LeBron and Kyrie, then, you know, hunch away, my friend. K-Love is you could do worse. And, you know, it's same for Draymond. A lot of the projections out there today say Draymond's going to have a great game. I just don't see the scoring upside for Draymond in a situation where I think that Steph could really, really, really eat. And if Draymond doesn't score 10 points, then it's not a situation where I want to roster him. So in order for him to really score 10 points, he kind of has to be on the court for more than his normal 28 to 30 minutes. So for me, Draymond is so-so. At center, it's Boogie. The Cavs have been brutal against the center recently. They've given up 52 points to the center in the last five games. One of those stealing games was Tyson Chandler. If you were on him last week, you were celebrating in the streets. He was just crushing. Since the departure of Rudy Gay, though, Boogie, listen to these numbers. This is insane. In those three games since Rudy Gay has left, Boogie has put up 60 shots. He has scored 83 points. He has 38 rebounds. He has 11 assists, 3 steals, and 5 blocks. Those are the three games. Those are over three games. So, on average, he is getting up 20 attempts, 27 points, and 13 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, and a steal. That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy. Last game out against the Cavs, he went for 26, 8, and 11, which is a massive line. It got checked by the fact that he had 7 turnovers. But the cool thing is if you look at that line, right, 26, 8, and 11. Okay, well, whoa, 8, 11 assists. That's bananas. Well, yeah, I mean, what it shows you is that they're clearly the Cavs doubled down on Boogie, and he just dishes. So he gets to the rack. They double him. They put pressure on him. He dishes out to the three-point line. So interesting spot for Boogie there. I think you can lock him in for 50 FD points. And he's at 10-5. That's a pretty good price for Boogie. That's about where you want him. So if you don't love center today, I think Boogie is a good option to pay up for. All right, let's go to the fantasy grab. Mid-priced guys in the 5 to 8K range. And, of course, that's a flexible range, 8.9 maybe. You can fill in around your lineup. At point guard, it is Goran Dragic, the Dragon. I was playing Dragic like probably 3 nights a week in November and December. The Dragon, baby. I love the Dragon. Dragon's gotten huge usage since Tyler Johnson's dropped out, but his price hasn't gone up. He's still 7K. He will be chalky tonight, though, for sure. People are like, Brooklyn, all right, let's go, Dragic. And I love him, too, so let's go, Dragic. Goran has 34 FD points in the last five games. He's at 7K, and he gets the Nets tonight. They're dead last against the point guard. I mean, I don't need to tell you that. He does great in pace-up games. That's interesting. He hit 35 against teams like Portland, Phoenix, New York, Houston. Okay, so you get more Dragic, more opportunities, pace up. He does well. His 7K is just a value lock. Like, put him in there. If you're, you know, I think in cash games, he'll probably be owned well above 50%. Kyrie also, though. 8-5, wonderful matchup with Sacramento. They're currently 27th in the last five to the point guard. Okay, and you know, like I said, Kyrie has some of his highest scoring games coming after losses for the Cavs. And here's what's really interesting to me. Here's why I love Kyrie. Not because of the bounce back narrative, because of kind of the recent trends, okay? So in general, Kyrie is plus 14 at home and he's plus 10 off of a day of rest. Both check, check. And right now he's just a usage hog, okay? His recent usage in the last five games, 34%, 39% usage, 33% usage, 26 against the Spurs, 32 against the Pels. He averages 28. So he's almost a full 6 to 8 points above his normal usage rate in the last couple games. He's scored 36, 40, and 63 FD points in the last four games. I just see a Kyrie kind of night against Sacramento at home. You know, LeBron calls him out, say, we need an effing playmaker. And Kyrie goes, well, I'm that guy too. Because he doesn't really, you know he is a playmaker. So I love Kyrie as well as Goran Dragic at point guard. All right, at shooting guard, it is my man, the Frenchman, Nicolas Batum. Batum, he is last year against Golden State, he had 17-8-3 with three steals and two blocks, 40 FD points against them. Clay, and here's what's interesting. Batum at 7-1, by the way, at home. He's marginally better at home and off of rest, which are both happening for him. But here's what interested me about Clay is Batum. It's Clay that interests me. Clay Thompson defense really isn't very good. You know, he's large, he's physical, but he's kind of slow, especially to close out on shooters like Astian Waiters. Waiters did work against him. He's very mediocre. He's a negative 1.1 defensive real plus minus against shooting guards. So, you know, the team defense for the Warriors is, I think, really pretty good. But it's not because of just Clay. It's because of good rotations and good, you know, good stuff. Batum's price is down to 7-1. You know, the other guy that's really in play, if you don't like Batum, is Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is down to 5-7, which is kind of the normal Eric Gordon price. You play Eric Gordon because you liked Bradley Beal last night, you know, and Eric Gordon profiles very similarly to Bradley Beal, a true two, a true shooting guard, a fire the three kind of guy. So I think a lot of those mid-priced Rockets are in play. Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson down at 4-6 could be real sneaky. Really like Ryan Anderson at 4-6. That price is way down. So don't sleep on Rhino too. But Gordon is nice too. And Ariza's price is down too to 5-2. I mean, all those Rockets are in play against this really bad really bad Boston defense. So something to keep an eye on. At small forward, it's Sir Robert Covington. I stole Sir Covington from a pod host over at Roto Grinders. That never left me when he called him Sir Covington. I thought that was the funniest shit. So Robert Covington, 5'3", he's going to the Bucks. Here's what's nice about Covington is he's gotten just such a massive usage and minutes, not usage bump so much, but a minutes bump without Embiid. In the last five games, he's gotten 36, 34, 31, and then he got 37 last night with Embiid off. You know, he definitely is like the second best defender on the 76ers, and the coach knows that. So Covington gets in there and gets plenty of minutes. He gets a 2% usage bump without Embiid, and he gets a two points FanDuel bump without Embiid. In the last three games, though, really nice is he's got more than 12 shot attempts, and he's crashing the glass. He's had double-digit rebounds in two of those games. So, you know, if Covington can get up 12 shots and get me 10 rebounds, I think Covington is great. A lot of people are starting to sneakily be on him. He went for 35 FD points, and he's a stat sheet stuffer. That's why you like him. He doesn't just do shooting. He does a lot. And he had a nice game. He had a solid game last time against Milwaukee. All right. At power forward, literally you have anybody and everybody in the 4 to 6K range. You could create 46,000 combinations of players in the 4 to 6K range of power forward, and I really don't mind any of them. So I'm going to list a few. Enes Kanter at 6'2", nice, good situation. Back to the bench role, which is where he feels comfortable. But that's, you know, that's how he gets hot in the first place. He's coming against that second unit. He's got the New Orleans front court. The only thing I don't love about Kanter is he's definitely going to get his usage and his minutes bumped back just because they don't need as much from him with Adams back in the lineup. So then you go down, okay, at the 6K or 5-9 mark, Zach Randolph. Zeebo's got Toronto. He's coming off of 3 days of rest. He's at home. He's priced to hit 30. He hits 30 pretty much in his sleep at, you know, with Toronto kind of banged up coming off the back-to-back. Their front court is not anything to be concerned about. So, you know, look at the numbers, Dwayne Dedmon look at the numbers Dwayne Dedmon, LaMarcus Aldridge, and David Lee put up last night. They did very nice. They did very nice, and they kind of shared that front court role there. So Randolph, priced hit 30. I think that's a breeze. He gets to 30. And then James Johnson at Brooklyn. Brooklyn is terrible against everyone. I think I actually might be able to get some buckets against Brooklyn. I've been playing some old man pickup ball, like dad league stuff, and, you know, my pick and roll is still there. My three's not. I don't have my three, but my pick and roll is still there. So that's good. I might be able to get one. James Johnson's definitely going to get some buckets there because they're bad. He is, you know, people will be all over Deion Waiters. And I'm not. I'm just not on Waiters. I just don't trust a guy who decided to call himself Kobe Wade. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Okay, I'm glad you thought about that. He's priced to hit 30 just like Zeebo, you know, at 5'8". I think it's a great situation for him against the Nets. So, and the other one is Dirk at 5'5". Dirk at 5'5" is really nice, okay? Dirk at 5'5 is really, really pretty nice. So you feel decent about Dirk, you know, all these kind of older guys, Dirk, James Johnson, and Zach Randolph. They're just consistent, man. And, you know, what you learned last night, if you look at the lineup that I put out last night, you don't have to spend at power forward, you don't have to spend more than 6.5 to get 30 to 40 points. Like Markieff Morris and Nerlens Noel both put up 40 points because at power forward, you have guys who, you know, rebound, who score, who rebound, who get assists. They do more. They are well-rounded players. And so, you know, when you get those guys who add the peripherals, you find just the right balance of two players who are priced hit 30, could go for 40. I think it's a great thing to do. You know, just it's a great price point for these guys. And there's a ton of them in there, like Al-Farouq Aminu, Trevor Booker. I mean, I don't care. Whoever you like, go for it. All right. Going down to center, I really like I don't mind Brook Lopez, by the way, at 7'3", but I think in this mid-tier, he's not really mid-tier, and I apologize for this. Marc Gasol is really interesting, though, at 8'4". You know, we know Valanciunas is a negative 4-5 defensive real plus minus. Gasol has had in his last four games 41, 41, 44, 44. You know, Gasol is priced to hit 42. I think that that's pretty reasonable. Coming off a rest at home. You know, his season average is like 38. And I think, you know, a ceiling game from Gasol, I don't know if this is a ceiling opportunity from him, but I definitely, he's kind of in the same camp that Millsap's in, right? If you want 40, get Marc Gasol, like guaranteed. The thing is that remember what I just said about those power forwards who are at 6K, you might be able to get 40 out of them too. So, you know, think about that and the savings that you can have in that respect. Okay. And then, diving into the, bargain basement here, the, sub 4-5 value, or excuse me, the around 4-5 to 5K value plays. We have some really nice ones on the board. Lots and lots of different lineup constructions you're going to see out there, which hopefully will drive ownership percentages down, but I don't know. The first, Jerian Grant, is somewhat interesting. He's getting starters minutes in Chicago. I don't like him for the offense, but he's going to be on the court. Eh, I wouldn't go with it, but a punt play, okay, fine, I get it. Patrick Beverly at Boston, he's getting Isaiah Thomas defense at 5'6". I love Beverly. If you want to spend down at point guard because you want to spend up, you know, somewhere else, boom, do it. Then it's Jordan Clarkson. D'Angelo Russell's injured. Jordan Clarkson probably going to get the bulk of the minutes against Damian Lillard. I think Clarkson is a pretty good value lock for 30 minutes, and he is priced in the five, so not bad. Shooting guard, Nick Young, and Nick Young is 4'4". Lou Williams doesn't really qualify because he's 5'7". He's risen up into the mid-tier. But Nick Young is interesting at 4'4". He's going to have to pick up some usage with if Luol Deng is out and with, you know, with D'Angelo Russell out. So if you want a punt play there. But my favorite punt of the night, favorite value is Wayne Ellington. Wayne Ellington is 3'8". He's been getting 30 minutes for Miami now that Tyler Johnson is out. He doesn't just score. He does a lot. He's been getting rebounds. He's been getting assists. He's been playing really well. He's got Brooklyn. So, you know, Waiters is great. Sure, Waiters is great. Wayne Ellington's only 3'8". You know, if Waiters could go for 30 tonight, that's awesome. But you spend $6K to get 30. Ellington at 3'8 gets you 25. Then all of a sudden you're at 7X with, well, Ellington. You know, these are the kinds of things that you just, you have to be disciplined about. So Wellington, I think Price, you know, Price only needs 17 to hit value, but I think it's pretty easy that he could go above that. And then, of course, Norman Powell. People are going to chase Norman Powell. I'm not chasing Norman Powell because he's going to get Tony Allen. And Tony Allen's a grown man. Tony Allen don't play. Somebody said they were watching, there was a commentator the other day watching the Memphis game, and they were like, man, you know, you can really tell Tony Allen gets personally offended when people score on him. And they were like, yeah, yeah, he does. He's made a career out of being personally offended when people score. And it's true, man. Tony Allen, I love that guy. All right, small forward, we have Brandon Ingram. Pretty interesting. He's been getting like 35 minutes. With these injuries in the Lakers rotation, not really doing a ton. And he, if you look into it, his history against Portland is not great. He's only hit like 17 or 18 points both times out against Portland. So Brandon Ingram in play because of Deng possibly out with the minutes. But there's another play on the other side of the ball that I prefer, and that's Evan Turner. Evan Turner bumped into the starting lineup over Mo Harkless, and I think it's the defense. Harkless is in the doghouse getting bumped down to in the 20-minute range, and Turner getting bumped up into the 35. He got 40 minutes in that overtime game against Boston. So if we get news that Turner is the starter there at 4-4, stat sheet stuffer, baby. You know, you want that out of your value plays. You don't want a guy who's scoring dependent, you know, a la Nick Young. You want a guy who can do more than just score. I like Turner. I like Turner tonight. And then the other one is interesting. Caris LeVert, the Brooklyn rookie, he's been getting some nice minutes, 20 minutes. He's almost min price, or I think he's 4K. you know, Miami's mediocre against the small forward. LeVert will come back and play tonight. People will probably be on him, but I just, you know, I'd never – I'm done trusting Brooklyn players unless it's a really plus matchup, and Miami's defense is not a plus matchup. You know, Golden State struggled with him. So I'm not chasing that. If he goes for 40, he can have it. At power forward, oh my God, as many guys as there are in the 6K range, you know, there are so many guys in the fours as well. You have Jamichael Green, who's obviously starter, got Toronto. You know, he plays basically splits the minutes with Zebo, but he doesn't score as much as Zebo, but he rebounds at the same rate. Zebo just scores about, you know, 75% more than he does. And then you've got Dario Saric and Rashawn Holmes, both 4'6". Yeah, yes, Noel had a huge game, But Sergeant Holmes had 32 and 23 last night, FD points. You know, I don't sleep on those guys having big games at 4-6. And Sarge last game against the Bucks had 32 as well. They're the two biggest beneficiaries behind Noel. Noel gets the biggest minute bump without Okafor in. But without Embiid in, it's Sarge and Holmes who get a lot of the usage. So if they fall to you, I don't feel bad. I'm probably going with Sarge just because he's getting more minutes and he can shoot the three. Really interesting player. I don't know how they fit him in. I don't know what they do with him. Maybe you package Sarge and Okafor and shop them together and see if people want those. And then, of course, Nerlens at 4-1. He's going to get the minutes. People are going to be freaking out about him. I don't know if he's going to go for 40 again. If he does, that's awesome. If he doesn't, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Nerlens will play center, and he should play well. He's a good player. And then the other one is at 4-6 is Rhino. Ryan Anderson, price down, very sneaky. Everybody's going to be on Noel. Rhino is a sniper. He's healthy. You know, he had the flu. And, you know, we know Boston allows the three ball. So if you like Ryan Anderson, I do not blame you at all. 4-6 is a nice price for Rhino. All right. And then at center, it is probably my favorite play of the night. My man, Steven Adams. Give me all the Steven Adams. Give me all the Steven Adams. Steven Adams and Goran Dragic, two of my favorite fantasy plays. He's waiting for the 30-35-point return. He got 37 minutes against Utah and put up 25 points against Rudy Gobert. The Pelicans are terrible against the center. This is the perfect spot for Steven Adams to just have a huge bounce back game and for a lot of people to go, oh yeah, Steven Adams is back. Cool. 5-5, great price. 9 minutes last game against the Pels, left with an injury. But in those 9 minutes, 12.6 fantasy points. That's a point and a half per minute. No, it's not. It's about a point and a quarter per minute. You know, but that's nice. You get Steven Adams at 1.2 points per minute, and he gets 32 minutes. Oh, baby. So give me all the Kiwi. I love, love, love Steven Adams tonight. Okay, before we jump into the interview with DFS Shane, let's go ahead and grab our lineup lock. This is the segment where I'm building you guys a cash core of players. And my recommendation is always take the core, use it, build from it, pivot off of it, get on the players that you like versus the players I like. Use some of the recommendations that I have. But this is always a good starting place. I think tonight there are a million and one different combinations and different things that you're going to see out there. So this is where I started, though. At point guard, we've got Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving. Then moving down to shooting guard, it's Wayne Ellington at 3-8 and James Harden at 12-1. At small forward, it's Evan Turner and Robert Covington, both very reasonably priced for the 30 minutes that they're likely going to get. Then at power forward, I've got the two old men in Dirk and Zebo, both priced to hit 30, and a really nice spot to do so. And then at center, it's the Kiwi, it's Steven Adams at 5-5. Love that matchup. Now, there's a ton of different things that you can do here. For example, if you wanted to get on Giannis, you can very easily get on Giannis and then go at point guard. You could go Russ and Patrick Beverley. I like that a lot. I like that move a lot. You can, pay down at power forward and get Giannis and then save a couple bucks. And, if you want to try to save a couple bucks and then get up to Boogie, you can definitely do that. LeBron is also accessible through this lineup. There's a lot of really, really interesting combinations of things that you can do. I realize that there's some value plays that I'm leaving on the board, and I know that a Stars and Scrubs is very, very, very doable tonight, you know, with Norman Powell and Wayne Ellington and all those guys. But I like where we're at. Okay, so moving right along, this is an interview that I did last night with a lineup provider, DFS Shane, who is just on a great win streak right now. We sat down to talk about his personal process in NBA DFS and lineup creation. So I hope you guys enjoy, and thanks for listening. All right, right now I'm extremely pleased to welcome in the guest to the show, DFS Shane. Shane, lineup provider on Twitter, and absolutely on a roll right now. Last I saw, Shane, you're on an 85% win rate in NBA right now?
Yeah, man. I mean, past like 3 weeks, I think I found like a formula that's really been working for me. I think the one thing that, you know, I've done to, you know, really get me to that win rate, and I'm sure we'll go over it later in the podcast, but, it's, you know, one thing I've really done is just kind of stay true to my gut. And all of a sudden, you know, you fast forward 2 weeks and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm 9 of 10, I'm 10 of 12. I'm like, wow, I'm over 80% right now. And, just taking it one night at a time.
That's awesome, dude. That's congratulations for that. That's huge. And, you know, yeah, we will definitely talk process. And it's interesting that you just say sometimes follow your gut on things. And that can be hard to do just with, for me personally, so much information out there that I often go against my own decision making with, you know, the millions of resources and projections that we can get our hands on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely easy to get swayed in this industry because just, you know, like a provider like me, you know, I might say some opinions I feel on Twitter, and you know, I might say a certain play that, you know, another person might not be on, and there's in the end of the day, you've got to go with what you feel is best.
I totally agree. All right, so just kind of little intro. I guess the first question that I have for you is, and what was the lineup that really got you hooked on DFS? Was it NBA? Was it NFL? Was it baseball? What was it? What was that lineup that where you were like, oh, I'm in. This is good.
Yeah, it's a funny story because like I've always played DFS. I've actually been playing DFS for about 5 years now, but with work and everything else, and just not a real big interest factor. Like when I played, I was just a casual player. I played for fun. I didn't really take it that serious, and I was actually, it's funny, because I was actually at a bar, it was during NFL season, and my buddy had actually really got me onto FanDuel, and this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and it was an NFL Sunday, okay. And I remember at the time, I want to say it was Mohamed Sanu, and I think he was starting for AJ Green. He was a Bengal at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And
the Mohamed Sanu Bengal years, for sure.
Yeah, and it was one of those plays that kind of happened at the last minute, and I really wasn't paying attention. And one of my friends who, you know, he played FanDuel and everything, but, you know, he didn't really take it serious either, but I had my lineup already. And I can't remember the player I substituted Sanu for, but he had said, like, oh, yeah, AJ Green's out, so they're starting Mohamed Sanu. And he just kind of said it like it was no big deal. And I was like, all right, whatever, I'll just plug him in. He was really cheap. And I ended up, like, kind of switching out some other pivots and some other plays. And that was a day I actually won, like, I think it was like $350 or something like that. And, yeah, you know, I was like, wow, there's a lot of money to be made in this. And even after that, I mean, that's when I started to get hooked, like, wow, you know, I can really win at this. And, you know, I would continue to play casually. It really wasn't up until this past October that I actually started taking this really serious. You know, but I like, even last year with baseball, I was taking it serious as well. But as far as like the Twitter aspect and being a provider, I never really thought I would be doing this. And then, you know, it started off kind of rough. I was here and there. Preseason I did really well at. And then, you know, I had my rough patches too, but I've been really grinding at this and spending a lot of time on it. And it's proven to be successful. I'm really getting it down, I feel.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. Similarly, it was a Bengals experience. That's really weird. An Andy Dalton lineup that got me.
That's crazy. Yeah, small world.
But anyway, all right. What about real life, dude? I mean, you know, you moonlight as a provider. What's real life for you? What do you do from 9 to 5?
Yeah, so I'm a food broker. So it's basically my job is I live in the Northern Virginia area. So my job is basically I represent a ton of different food manufacturers. And when I say that, like, I mean, like your Purdue, like Purdue Chicken. When you go to McDonald's, those are actually French fries from a manufacturer called McCormick. Well, all these different manufacturers, I represent the top 40. So my job as a broker is I go around with a bunch of different food salesmen and I help them make money. So they rely on me. I basically go to all the top restaurants in DC area, Virginia area, Maryland area. I even travel sometimes up and down the East Coast. And it's pretty much my job to help those guys get sales. And then, it's a lot of fun, to be honest. A lot of people that I work with, I basically have to enter a lot of sales into a database. I can do that from home as well. So it's very relaxed. And I actually just started this job last year, and it gives me a lot more time to put focus on DFS. I have more time to research now. So it definitely benefits that.
Right on, right on. Yeah, that's kind of the best of both worlds, right? You get to work from home at times and do the DFS thing on the side. So one of the things, and Shane, you alluded to this, we wanted to talk about was just kind of strategy and process. And hopefully when I started the podcast, one of the things that I was hoping for is that like people who listen want to learn about people's process. And you hear that term a lot. People say trust the process, not the results. And want to talk about process on this pod. So when you approach a slate on a daily basis, like what do you do when you sit down, when you first start to make a lineup for NBA, what's that first thing that you do?
It's funny, Sean, you said trust the process because now I just envision Joel Embiid like,
Joel Embiid just sitting
I
next to
can't,
your computer.
you just can't say that without me just picturing Joel Embiid playing tonight. So, getting to the question, the number one thing that I do, the first thing I do is I find value. So, one mistake that I made when I first started playing NBA, and I felt I've been making, in the past few months, I've made it as well. Like, every night I lose, I try to learn off my mistakes. But one mistake I definitely made was I would target my studs first, and I wouldn't find that value. And I have a lot of followers who will message me like 45 minutes before lock, like, "Hey, you got that lineup yet?" And I'll never have the lineup that early. And reason being is because perfect examples tonight, perfect examples last night with what's going on with the Spurs. There's just so much value that's opened up, and I really feel that you need to target that value first. And then once you find those value plays, that's when you got to start looking at your studs. It's the thing is like this. Would you rather spend, $5,000 on a nice car, or would you rather spend $25,000 on a nice car? Because studs can be that nice car you're looking for. They can be, or not studs, I'm sorry, duds. Duds can be that cheap player that may give you 25 to 30. So you want to start cheap and build your way up to the studs. And of course there's going to be nights too where there's going to be that one stud that you kind of have to lock in because they're going to be that chalky. But long story short, I always focus on those cheap plays, those value plays first. And a lot of the times you won't know who that value play is until 15, 20 minutes before lock. And then
Right,
you have to
because
reposition.
yeah, and I mean the reality is that minutes determine so much in the NBA. Everybody is, an NBA quality player, and compare that to, snaps in the NFL. Snaps don't ex always equate to opportunity, but minutes in the NBA, touches, minutes are going to guarantee touches for, you're one of five players in an offensive unit with, almost 100 possessions in a game. Minutes are going to dictate value, and so that's a really wise thing. It's hard for people to stay disciplined and like lock in a guy who is going to go 6x just because he's going to get the minutes, or a guy who's definitely primed for 7x, and then the reality is, and I don't know if you noticed this, Shane, a lot of studs most nights are going to hit that 50 number. And there's going to be a guy who's 9'6" who hits 50. There's going to be a guy who's 12K who hits 50. So I guess the other question I have for you on the opposite of value, what do you look for in your studs once you get that value locked in, you maybe want to lock in one or two studs. How do you determine which stud you want?
Usage. To me, I always look at usage. So number one's usage. Number two would be matchup. And it's funny because last night, Russell Westbrook, I would never play him against Utah, but he balled out. And that's not always going to work out that way because there are studs in the NBA that are matchup proof. But the first thing I look at is usage. If you can get a stud that might have another role player on his team that's out, and it bumps up his usage for his team. So let's say, you know, I'm just going to use Westbrook as an example. Westbrook's pretty much 50% or more usage of that Oklahoma City Thunder team. But let's just imagine that he had, like, you know, I don't know. Let's just say Oladipo, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. At the beginning of the season, Depot was out, and we saw that number even higher.
Right, exactly. So when I see another role player that's out for that particular player's team, that makes me like him more. So I always look at the usage factor. That's number one. And then obviously number two would just be matchup. I mean, you have to look at the matchup too. I mean, if the other night, LeBron James against Kawhi, obviously I'm not going to like LeBron as much because Kawhi's on him. So exactly. those are the two most important things. And number three, obviously, would be the Vegas line. I always look if it's going to be a blowout or not because I'm afraid and those kind of situations. And there's two arguments to that because you can look at it like, oh, well, you know, it's going to be a blowout because the stud is going to be the reason that it is a blowout. Well, yeah, that's fine, but if he could be the reason it's a blowout, but if he's still going to be sitting in the fourth quarter, that's a lot of his ceiling that's being taken away. So yeah. I usually try to avoid the studs and blowouts personally. I just think it's more consistent for cash games since I'm a cash player, but I would say those are the three in order.
Okay. Pretty much. Yeah, that makes a lot of good sense. And I mean, it just positionally, you know, do you feel like personally, I'm always finding myself, you know, paying up at point guard, paying down at shooting guard. It's just a trend I notice in my lineups. I'm much more comfortable paying down at shooting guard. Personally, you know, where do you pay up? Where are you most likely to pay up? Like if you can, you know, go up to guys who are in that 7 or 8K range, where are you going to do that?
Well, I mean, it really depends on the night, but if you, to basically give you a broad answer to that, one thing I can tell you just from looking at each position in basketball, so a lot of the times, obviously, let's just say it's not a Harden, let's say it's not an ABC or a Cat, let me just not envision any studs at all. I'll just tell you like the importance of each position, and to answer that, one thing you gotta look at is the point guards, I think, in my opinion, have probably one of the best chances of scoring more points. Reason being is because they kind of do everything on the court. Obviously, their assists, they're going to be the scorers, and some of them, you know, like when Rondo was actually playing decent, they could be rebounders as well. So they'll have the full package. Westbrook is a full package. He's a triple-double machine, and there's point guards in the NBA that have that potential of doing that. Obviously, not to Westbrook's extent, but I try to pick the positions that have that ceiling to provide in more ways than one, as far as just shooting. Two, obviously, would be center. Rebounds, I mean, you got to look at a good center because they're going to have the scoring, and then obviously they're going to have the rebounds. So that's two categories right there that are giving them better chances to have a higher ceiling. And of course, you'll have, like, you know, the centers who are going to dish it out for the three and get the assist. But I try to target the positions that have the best chance of scoring more points. So I think with point guard, you've got your chance for the assist right there. Now, one position I could tell you, if you're not getting like a Harden or ABC or something, is the shooting guard. Shooting guard is a tricky spot because there's a lot of jump shot dependent shooting guards in the league, and that can be your fantasy nightmare. I look at somebody like Crawford. He solely depends on his jump shot. He hasn't been playing too well. I said this in my other podcast. He hasn't been playing too well lately, and those are the kind of players that are going to kill you. If they're missing their shots and they're not producing, I mean, it's lights out. I mean, they're not going to give you any points. So I try to stay away from those players who rely on one aspect of the game. Kyle Korver, even though he's a Cav, what does he do? He rolls off the screens and shoots jump shots. He shoots the three. He does nothing else. So those are the kind of players I think can make or break you, and they're risky. And I try to stay away from those players in cash as much as I can. Yeah, I want a shooting guard that can produce and do more. So
right, you know, and that, like, you know, those peripherals. I try to talk about it a lot and like focus on peripherals because, you know, the shooting and the scoring is pretty easy to see, but like it's the peripherals that add the ceiling, right? The reason that James Harden and Russell Westbrook are 12K players because they have all of those rebounds and assists, you know, and you know, it makes a player, it gives a player a ceiling. And I, yeah, that's a really, really good point. All right. So, I guess, do you have anybody that's on permanent fade for you right now? Like there's, I'm just not playing this dude.
After tonight, DeJounte Murray. Easy, yeah. Easy question. He's killing me, and I'm kind of keeping an eye on the game while we're doing this, and it just seems like Spurs have just been killing me. I did cash last night, and I rostered Spurs, but tonight I think I'm paying the price for it because it's killing me, and it seems like Pop's just got kind of a different rotation going on. I think Murray played maybe 4 minutes this second half.
Dude,
if I'm not mistaken.
Pop does what he wants.
It's killing me, and. Yeah, so definitely DeJounte Murray, and I for some reason Lou Williams hates me. I think I've rostered him. Every time I've rostered him, he hasn't broke 10 fantasy points. And another player that hates me, Serge Ibaka. Every time I've rostered him, he's just been ice cold.
Well, Ibaka had a nice stretch in December, but like his minutes are down. I don't think Vogel really likes what he's doing, or he's injured. I don't know what it is, but he is not getting the same Serge Ibaka usage that he was earlier in the season. He could easily be hurt, man. He's old.
Yeah, true. Either that or, like, you know, they hate me. But we'll go with your answer, too.
All right. Let's look at Wednesday. You must have taken a look at the slate by now. When you're looking at this one, what games are you targeting?
Yeah, well, tonight's not working out too well, so I dabbled a little bit in tomorrow's slate. Actually, I got to pull it up right now. I'm kind of looking at some of these games for the first time. One game I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at LeBron. If Sacramento can somehow keep it close and Rudy Gay's out, I don't know who LeBron's going to have guarding, whether it's Aaron Afello or Temple on him, but LeBron looks pretty appealing. But in the same respect, Cousins might look appealing because Cleveland hasn't been doing too well guarding the front court. Interested in this Boston-Houston game. That should be a fast-paced game if that can stay close as well. Yeah. Isaiah's been killing it. He's killing it again tonight. I feel so stupid for fading him, but I don't know. We'll see what Lowry does. But
follow your own rule. You know, I mean, yeah. Isaiah is a scoring-dependent guard. He doesn't really do peripheral things, so I get it.
Right. But Isaiah also has Beverly guarding him, one of the best defenders in the league. So we got to keep an eye on that as well. One player that sticks out, and if this guy can get his stuff together, would be Hassan Whiteside. He's going against Brooklyn, who's, I mean, they're horrible at defending every position, but especially the center position. So Whiteside might be targetable tomorrow. Not sure for cash, but he's got a sweet matchup.
I have a terrible relationship with Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. So
he hates me for sure.
Yeah, I chose him the other night and lost with him too. I think it was like last week sometime, and he's another player that hates me.
How are you dealing with this game? Last game of the night, Lakers at Portland. We talk about pure scorers, but like there's a possible 250 points going up in this game. Anybody you like in that game?
Which is crazy to me. For one thing, I'm glad D'Angelo Russell's out. I forgot to mention him on my fade list. He is horrible. I'm done with him. He's burned me too many times as well. And Lou Williams has burned me. And it's crazy that point total's that high, especially if Lou Dang's out. Just because, for one, they're in Portland, and I don't know. It feels like the Lakers are missing some pieces. But, I mean, of course, Julius Randle should be able to attack that weak Portland front court. He might be in play. And then, you know, maybe if the Lakers can keep it close, I might be looking at Lillard. If he's got Jose Calderon on him, Lillard should be able to abuse him all game. Yeah. And Nick Young's been pretty consistent, too, for his price. So I kind of like him as well if we're just focusing on that game. But if that's the point total, I haven't looked at that yet, then that's very.
Brett, I'm just saying, like, I know those two teams, you know, just from a defensive perspective.
Right.
They allow some of the most points in the league. So,
yeah,
one of those things where people could go to bed in the cash and wake up and, you know, Brandon Ingram and went for 40 and Nick Young went for 40 and they're like, you know, they lost all their money because of this Laker-Portland game. So you got to keep your eye on that. You know, if nothing else, maybe you want some shares just to make sure that you don't end up dry at the end of the night. Any thoughts about Oklahoma City, New Orleans? I mean, this seems like a good opportunity for Brow, but I don't know how you feel about Brow. He says he's going to play. Any thoughts on Anthony Davis?
I'm staying away from him. He is his nickname's the Glass Man for a reason, and I'm scared. I'm scared for my life. It's one thing if he was like a mid-range price player, and it sucks because he can go off at any time. But when you have to hold your breath when the guy takes a jump shot or gets a rebound that he just doesn't break in half, right. it's just a bad feeling, and it feels like if I play him, I'm not only worried about if I cash in general, but I'm also worried about if Anthony Davis is going to get hurt. They have a Twitter page that's labeled, "Is Anthony Davis hurt?" And it's funny because if you go on it, it's just like a bunch of yeses, nos, yes. And that's how often this guy gets hurt. And I hate, like, the big thing about DFS for me is I try to eliminate every single variable that can keep me from cashing as possibly as I can. And playing Anthony Davis is just a variable that's like, it's playing the lottery. Either you're going to play him and he's going to get 70, or you're going to play him and he's going to get hurt. There's no in between with that guy. So
that's such a good call.
So for cash, I'm staying away for now.
Okay. All right. So thinking about LeBron, thinking about maybe some shares of this Lakers Portland game, and that Boston, a good call on that. Good call on that Boston-Houston game. That definitely, you know, I might flip to the opposite side of that point guard matchup and go with Beverly. Just at 5'6", I feel like Beverly's a nice price. And, you know, Isaiah Thomas coming off the back-to-back, defense isn't really much of a thing for him. So could be interesting to target Beverly there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree.
All right, dude. Well, it's been a pleasure. You were recently working on a podcast yourself. You want to shout that out?
Yeah, no, that's just the podcast with Jeff and I. That's kind of going to be we're going to basically at goingfor2.com. You can follow Jeff over there at goingfor2, at goingfor2. You can go to the website at goingfor2.com. But, you know, Jeff, like I said, I'll be a daily, not daily, but I'll be a hopefully weekly guest over there and giving some fantasy tips and things like that for you guys. Absolutely. And Sean, anytime you want me back, man, I'm always down to come back on the show. So
absolutely. And guys, you can find Shane on Twitter at DFSShane26, right?
That's right. It's at DFSHANE26. So DFS Shane with one S. I post lineups, free cash lineups, every single night for you guys. If you guys just give me a follow and you want to ask me questions, you can always feel free to DM me. I answer all my followers any questions you guys have regarding the NBA DFS. I will get back to you.
And, right on, man. Yeah. Hey, and you got a birthday coming up, right, bro?
I do, on Thursday. That well, I do.
Well, I wish you many, many GPP wins, my friend.
Appreciate it, man. I might have to go big that night just to get some birthday luck.
That's right. All right, man. I appreciate it very much. And guys, thank you for tuning in today to the podcast. That is it for me today. You can find me on Twitter, Hey Mr. Kane. HEYMRKANE. Please retweet, comment, follow, share, subscribe. Good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you.